نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى through His infinite mercy, kindness and grace sent Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, the last of whom is our most beloved Rasul, the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And through these Rusul, through these Anbiya, through these messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us as to what we need to do to please Him and what we need to stay away from in order not to displease Him. And this is a great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the purpose of our creation is to live our lives in a way which will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose of our creation. That we do only those things which bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we abstain from each and everything that brings the wrath, the anger and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to do those things which bring His pleasure, to abstain from those things which bring His displeasure. And if we do carry out something which is a cause of His displeasure, then we use the tool of Tawbah to remove that displeasure and acquire His pleasure again. Again, Tawbah is a very big ni'mat, very big gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam were sent into this world to guide us towards those things which will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, with lot of love, lot of affection, lot of compassion, guided each and every individual of the Ummah and taught every individual as to what pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read the glorious Quran from Suratul Fatiha to Suratul Nas, when we study the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this is what we find. Do this and don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again through His kindness instilled in the hearts of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihim majma'een, then the tabi'een, then the taba tabi'een, ulama of every era till today, to preserve this information that was sent to human beings via our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the Sharia is complete. We have all the do's and all the don'ts in our Sharia. And each and everything has been preserved till today. And each and every person is able, even today, to know each and everything that brings the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each and everything that brings the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah it will remain so until just before Qiyamah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away ilm from the books of ahadith, from the masahif, the Quran, and only clean pages will remain. Before Qiyamah, Allah will take away ilm. And Allah will also take away the spirituality from the Kaaba. So the building of Kaaba will remain, but the spirituality of Kaaba will be taken away. Just as the Quran in book form will remain, but the words of the Quran will not remain in the Quran. Quran will be empty of the words. So similarly, the building Kaaba will remain, but the actual Kaaba, which is the spirituality, it will be taken away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole world will be plunged into darkness. There will be no hidayat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His kindness, has granted us this ni'mat, this favor. Do, don't. This is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should take it as ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is a do, that's a ni'mat, because if we carry out that do, Allah will become happy. If there is a don't, that is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if we stay away from that don't, Allah will become happy. And there is nothing greater than the Creator becoming happy with us. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the greatest thing that a person can acquire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has supplicated to Allah and he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bi ridhaka min sakhatik. O Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure from your displeasure. That means, O Allah, save me from your displeasure and grant me a safe haven in your pleasure. Always remain happy with me. So let us value this gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to learn as much as possible the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The evening makatib, the evening madaris where we have studied when we were young. What is taught in these madaris, in these makatib? The do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In these full-time madaris, what is taught? The do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In gatherings such as these in the masajid, what is taught? The do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ijtima'at, in conferences, in seminars, in sirah jalsas, what is taught? The do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And learning the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is known as ilm. Ilm, knowledge. Knowledge. I am learning knowledge. Knowledge of nubuwa, knowledge of deen. What does knowledge of deen teach you? What makes Allah happy, what makes Allah unhappy. And the one who is learning is known as talibul ilm. And the one who is teaching is known as muallim. And because every Nabi is sent into this world to teach people the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا بُعِسْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I have not been sent but as a mu'allim. My only duty is to teach people. And this ta'lim, this teaching people the do's, teaching people the don'ts, that is tabligh. Because what is being revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is conveying it to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jama'in. When a teacher is teaching in the madrasa, what was conveyed to him by his teachers, he is conveying it to his students. When a speaker speaks from here, he is conveying what was conveyed to him through authentic sources. Ta'lim, tabligh, same thing. Teaching, conveying. So let us value this ni'mat and let us associate ourselves to ta'lim and ta'allum, teaching and learning. Teaching and learning. Learn and teach. Learn and convey. Learn and propagate. Learn. Learn as much as you can. Learn the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then teach, propagate the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts, or rather He has created us to acquire His pleasure, and we can acquire His pleasure by carrying out the do's and abstaining from the don'ts. And we will only know the do's and the don'ts if we learn and if we teach. So learning and teaching is the bridge to acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without learning and teaching, a person cannot acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is he who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. Because the person who learns and teaches, will himself come to recognize the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will become instrumental in other people recognizing the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will also practice, others will also practice, so he will become deserving of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will become instrumental in other people becoming deserving of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to learn as much as possible. Learn. Learn from authentic sources. Learn. Alhamdulillah, you have all gathered here today for the weekly Tuesday dars at the Islamic Dawah Academy. This dars is a blessing for me, blessing for Maulana, blessing for all of us, blessing for the one who imparts, and blessing for those people who import. Before one is able to impart, you have to import. And when we import, thereafter we need to impart. And we also need to practice. So learn, practice and propagate. Learn, practice and propagate. There should never come a time in our lives where we stop learning. We stop learning and we only practice and propagate whatever we have learned. No. There should never come a time in our lives where we are learning and practicing only but not propagating. There should never come a time in our lives where we are learning and propagating but not practicing. Learning, practicing and propagating should continue until we breathe our last. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, once somebody saw him with papers and with ink pot and with a pen he was going somewhere. So this person realized that he is still in search of knowledge. He was not going with his books, with his notebooks to teach. No, he was going with clean paper and with pen and ink pot. That means he was going in search for ilm. He wanted to acquire ilm from somebody and write down ilm. So he was, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was in his last stages, in his 60s, 70s. So upon being questioned, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi said, Ma al mishbarati ilal maqbarati. I will go to the grave with this ink pot. That means I will carry on learning. I will carry on learning until I breathe my last. This is the difference between we students and our pious predecessors, our akabir, our elders. Till this day, the likes of Mufti Taqi Usmani, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, till this day, the likes of Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Pahlanpuri, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, the great scholars of today, the great scholars of the past. Our culture is, once I was a student, now I am a graduate. So I have finished learning. Now whatever I know, I will practice and propagate. And these great luminaries, they became great because even after graduation, they remained students until they breathed the last. And they were so eager as far as ilm was concerned that if a question arose in their minds in regard to a particular verse of the Quran or a particular hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would not leave it till tomorrow. They would not be able to rest in peace until they found the solution to the problem they were facing. Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, the first Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband. And he was appointed the Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband by Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. And Mufti Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi was a great muhaddith, well-known muhaddith. People are benefiting from his knowledge in the field of hadith till today, alhamdulillah. And he was a great faqih also. Not only a mufti, a great faqih. Faqihun nafs. A faqih of a very high status. A faqih of a very high caliber. And he was the patron of Darul Uloom Deoband in those days. So he appointed Maulana Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi as the Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband. So you can imagine the caliber of Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. There were so many other Muftis. But Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi picked Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. One night he was studying the tafsir of the Quran and he came across a verse of the Quran which apparently contradicted another verse of the Quran. And he could not solve it. And the distance between Deoband and Gangohi is approximately 30 kilometers or 30 miles. And in those days, when the roads were not safe, one had to travel in the darkness of the night, he did not wait for the following day. He did not for the day to break. Immediately he left Deoband and he set out towards Gangoh walking, and he reached Gangoh whilst Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi was performing wudu of his tahajjud salah. He left late at night after Isha.
in order to solve only this one problem. He did not wait till tomorrow that, okay, after Fajr, I will talk to the other scholars of Darul Uloom Deoband and try to solve this matter. They may have an answer. No, he left straight for Gango.
So Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, what brings you here, Mufti Azizur Rahman? So he said, Hazrat, I have a question. He said, go ahead. So he put the question forward to Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was a great scholar of the time. And whilst performing wudu, he lectured on the two verses that were apparently contradicting and he solved the problem. Whilst performing wudu, without any study. And thereafter he said, what was the hurry that you left Deoband and you came here at the Tahajjud time? So he said, Hazrat, I did not want to sleep at night with a question regarding the Quran in my heart. So my friends, let us become students of the knowledge of Nubuwwah and let us remain students until we breathe our last. According to our ability, according to our capacity, we all have different lives. Some of us go to college, some of us go to university, some of us are professionals, some of us are self-employed, so we can make adjustments according to our desires. Some of us are working in offices, tied up with certain timings. Each and every person, according to his capacity, according to his ability, should make a firm resolution to acquire ilm on a regular basis. And until when? Until we have acquired so much? No. Until we breathe our last, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So we learn, and not only learn. Two more responsibilities after learning. We learn and we practice. We have learned today that we have to be very, very particular as far as tahara is concerned. Tahara. Tahara of the body, tahara of the clothes. Especially our young boys, those who go to college, those who go to universities, we need to refresh our memory as far as the masail of tahara is concerned, the masail of istinja are concerned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, istanzihu min al bawl. Protect yourselves. He said, protect yourselves from urine. Istanzihu min al bawl. Protect yourselves from urine. From urine, from drops of urine. Why? فَإِنَّ أَمَّتَ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ مِنْهُ. Because generally the punishment of the grave is due to not protecting oneself from urine. So we need to learn the masail of istinja. Let us contact the ulama, the muftis on a one-to-one basis and try to learn. It will take 5, 10, 15 minutes, inshallah. And the other thing we have learned today, which belongs to the category of don'ts, is tail-bearing. Tail-bearing. Going to Maulana and talking to Maulana regarding Mufti Sahib, and then going back to Mufti Sahib and talking to Mufti Sahib regarding Maulana. And creating a situation where both of them will clash against each other. Naqlul kalam ila jihatil ifsad wal izrar. And sometimes what people do, there are two types of tail bearing. One is, Maulana has actually said something in regard to Mufti Sahib. Maulana has actually said something which was not appropriate regarding Mufti Sahib, and a person goes and he mentions to Mufti Sahib the truth, that this is what Maulana said, but the intention was not pure. So he is saying the truth, but the intention is not clean. This is an opportunity for me to create a clash between the two. I heard Maulana say this regarding Mufti Sahib, let me go and tell him. This is one type of tail bearing. This is also haram. This is also from the kabair, from the major sins. And the other which is more worst is that a person goes to Mufti Sahib and he says something to Mufti Sahib and attributes it to Maulana when Maulana has not even said that. Because this person knows that the two of them are not on good terms, so he is not going to come and question or ask. It is for this reason I always tell friends that the only way to combat those people who carry out the act of tail bearing is that when somebody comes to you and he says to you regarding somebody that he said so and so about you, then say, just hold on a minute, let me contact him. This is the best way. Just hold on a minute, let me call him here on the scene. Let's three of us sit down together and sort this matter out. Then the tail bearer will not come to you a second time. Always remember, the tail bearer is neither your friend nor the friend of the person from whom he is quoting. He is his enemy and he is your enemy as well. All he desires is clash between the two of you. Nowadays our weakness is that if somebody comes to me and he says that Muhammad said so and so about you, Ahmed said so and so about you, I begin to think that he is a sincere well-wisher of mine. That's why he is telling me all this. No, he is not. He is my enemy as much as he is the enemy of the person who he is quoting from. Our akabir, our elders, they would not pay attention. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi Alayhi, if somebody came to him and said something regarding somebody, he would say, I know him better than you. He wouldn't have said this. He would just cut him off. He would not pay attention. So let us learn. Whatever we learn, let us practice. And not only keep it to ourselves, let us propagate. Propagate. We meet friends on a daily basis. Now we will go home, we can talk to the wife as well. In short, we can tell her that these are two things which are very, very dangerous for our hereafter. We consider ilm, acquiring ilm is very important. And we have learned today that we need to do three things in our life, in our lives until we breathe our last. We have to learn, continually learn, continue learning, continue practicing, continue propagating. Short messages for the wife, for parents, for brothers, for sisters. Tomorrow when we go to work, we can convey some messages to some brothers, sisters. Authentic, reliable messages being taught by ulama. So what you understand clearly, you can make a small text and send it to friends. We shouldn't forward any text that we receive until we verify whether it is authentic and correct or not. Sometimes we get messages, I get messages, where people say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it's not a hadith. We get a message, a sentence, and at the end in brackets, Al-Quran. It's not in the Quran. So it is not appropriate for those who are not acquainted with the knowledge of Nubuwwah to forward anything that comes to them. And until it is authentic, until it is reliable. Because something that is not a hadith, and to convey it as a hadith is a very big sin. Something that is not Quran, and to convey it as a Quran, very big sin. Nowadays people, with good intention, when they receive a message, they want to send it to as many people as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.